today I want to talk about something God put on my heart weeks ago, and I want to thank those that come and teach. We have some great ministers in this church, and I'm very thankful that I have them to help on Sunday mornings to teach, and it's always good to hear a fresh word from someone else. I get to feed when they teach so much, and I greatly appreciate all of them that come. So we've had some great word over the last 3 weeks, and today, if I could give a title, it would be No Scrubs, or Healed or Whole, Desiring Wellness or Wholeness. And in the last couple months, God has had me in Isaiah, and I've been studying 42nd, 43rd, and 44th chapter of Isaiah. And it's written to the Israelite people who are still in bondage. They're at, they've been carried away to Babylon, but God has promised that He is still with them, and things are working out for their good. But He's also talking to them about some things that they need to attend to. They need to attend to. And worshiping idols was one of the things He talks about. We'll start Isaiah 44. And I want to read verses 12 through 17. And I'm in the King James Version because it has the wording that I want to express to you all. It says, "The smith with the tongs both worketh in the coals and fashions it with hammers, and worketh it with the strength of his arm. Yea, he is hungry, and his strength faileth. He drinketh no water, and is faint." That's a great example of us trying to do and work things out for ourselves in our own fashion, with the way that we think it should be in our own strength. But yet we find ourselves hungry still, and weak. It says, "The carpenter stretcheth out his rule. He marketh it out with a line. He fitteth it with planes, and he maketh it out with the compass, and maketh it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. He heweth him down cedars, and taketh the cypress and the oak, which he strengthened for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doth nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god and worshipeth it. He maketh it a graven image and falleth down thereto." And verse 16, "He burneth part thereof in the fire, with part thereof he eateth flesh. He roasteth roast, and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself, and saith, Ah, I am warm. I have seen the fire, and the residue thereof he maketh of God, even his graven image. He falleth down unto it, and worshipeth, and prayeth unto it, and saith, Deliver me, for thou art my God." And that verse 17 just struck me. It says, "And the residue of it he made into a god." He made into a god. And I got to looking at that, and I got to comparing it to my life and the lives of others that I see. And a lot of times we are making gods out of what is residue. What is residue in your life? What's residue mean? Well, a good definition, residue is a small amount of something which remained after the main part has been used, taken, or is gone. Residue. I just think about that for a second. Residue. Residue in your life. We all had past, did we not? I didn't come out of the womb speaking in tongues. I was raised by great parents, Christian parents. Yet I chose my own path many times. Residue. song back in 1999 that we used to listen to by TLC, and it said No Scrubs. Do y'all know who Scrubs are, right? The guy thinks he's fly. I'm reading some of the lyrics, but he's really just a buster. Always talking about what he wants and just sitting on his butt. And I use that a nice word, but the script doesn't say the nice word. It says, he's the guy that can't get none of my love because he's hanging out the passenger side of his best friend's ride. Right? Trying to holler at me. Scrub a guy that can't get none of my love because he's the guy that still lives at home, one of the lyrics says. He still lives with his mama. He's got all these dreams, and he talks about all the things he wants, but he ain't going nowhere, is he? Let's see what else this lyric said. Oh, he's got a shorty, but he don't know. He don't show no love. I like that. He don't have a car. He's walking. A scrub. A scrub. Get with me, but you ain't got no money. Telling my age, sorry, this morning. But I wanted to look at that in the spiritual sense. And a lot of us have residue in our life. We have some scrubs hanging around. And I'm talking people. I'm talking places. I'm talking things. I'm talking emotions, feelings, past, present. I'm talking things that we put on the throne of our lives in place of God. God took worshiping idols very seriously, whether it was a graven image or whatever they replaced him with. That is the worship of someone or something other than God as though it were God. We can do that with money. We can do that with jobs. We can do that with our children, our family, people. We can allow our emotions and feelings to be our God because we always living in them. Pastor said something very profound last Sunday. He said, if you're not praising God and speaking positive with your mouth, you are worshiping the enemy and you're praising him by talking. How many times do we get caught up in our feelings and our emotions and we're worshiping someone other than God? Pastor once said to us that lust isn't always, if you hear the word lust and you're always thinking of sexual, it's not always true. Lust does refer a lot to the sexual, but it's the lust is the flesh. A strong craving or desire. And if you go over to 1 John 2:15-7, it puts lust in a different perspective. A little different, you know, than what you might just think. And I'm not saying it doesn't count in that part as well, but it includes so much more. Let's go to 1 John 2. Start at 15. And I'm in the King James Version. But it reads, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Lust. A good definition for lust could be doing the will of the flesh. Doing the will of the flesh. Anything that's not the will of the Father. Usually something you have strong desire for. Psalm 73:26 says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. David knew a little something about the flesh and the heart. He knew a little something about lust too, didn't he, in one sense or another. David had seen the king, Saul, anointed of God, fall from grace due to disobedience. Due to disobedience. We have lots of residue in our life from our previous life, don't we? We do. We have these mindsets that we deal with constantly that are birthed from what was, what happened. This is what I like. This is what I want. I do this because of this. This is the way I think. But you know, the Bible tells us we are supposed to have the mind of Christ. Get the mind of Christ. What was the mind of Christ? It wasn't his own will, was it? It wasn't doing the will of Jesus. It was doing the will of the Father. Many times he says, I speak not. I don't even go unless the Father instructs or gives me that. He was obedient even to the cross, the death of the cross, is what the Bible says. How much residue do you have left in your life of what you used to be? You know, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells and inhabits us when we give our lives over to God and we surrender ourselves. Many of us don't surrender, do we? Many of us just come to seek. I just want to be well. I just want to be healed. But I don't want to be whole. Do you remember the story of the woman with the issue of blood? What did he say to you? Your faith had made you whole. Some versions say well, but the original says whole. Whole. No residue. No residue. It's made you whole. So here we are. We've got all this residue that we're dealing with, and this is why we teach and talk and preach and sing the way we do at this church, because we're trying to catapult you from the milk to the meat. And the time of the milk is coming to an end. It's time to grab the meat and start growing. Start growing. Start growing. So, we give our lives to Christ. We confess our sins. We believe on Him. We have faith on Him. But yet we're still dealing with this residue. Yes, the Scripture says, you know, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, creation. All things, the old has passed away and the new has become. But we're still dealing with some of that residue, that thinking, that talking, that walking, that looking. Some extent. Some of us still being baptized in that. But anyways, we're working on that heart and that mind. We're working on all that. It says, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2 and 5. The verse 8 of that chapter says, humbled because of obedience. That's what Christ was. We were supposed to be humbled. The very first commandment that we were given in the Old Testament, or the Israelites were given and written in our Bible, it's Exodus 20 and 3. First commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Before me. Many of us had many gods before God, didn't we? Now that we have God, who's before Him? What's before Him? Romans 12 and 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what we do here. That's what we do. We talk it. We try to walk it. We try to show you by example, by our own failures, our own faults. Yes, we make mistakes as the teachers and the preachers. But we don't allow that to have a hold on us. We see it. We ask for forgiveness if we need to take it to the throne room. And then we learn and let the Holy Spirit guide us into how to walk this out properly. As Pastor likes to say, we are the unlikely ones. I think God is intentional in that area. He's intentional. But let's talk about the lust of the flesh. It's what the flesh wants. The flesh, we were born into sin, right? It's very natural. Lying comes very natural. Little child will lie to you without even blinking an eye. I got one husband says, how do you know when she's lying? I said, every word that comes out of her mouth, assume that it is a lie. That child has a poker face. I have not figured her out yet. The older one, I figured him out real quick. Didn't take long. I can always tell. Lust of the flesh, it's natural. It's what the flesh wants. It wants a lot of things. Lust of the eyes, what we see and desire. All these work hand in hand. These are not talking sexual, explicitly sexual things. It's talking any desire, anything you put on the throne above God, before Him. And then pride of life, that was the original sin. Want to be like God. That was Satan's fall. The pride of life. Pride. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they really like that pride. They like being called rabbi, that's in the Bible. They like having the special seats, being attended to. Did you know that that was a sin? Being attended to. It's okay if people do that for you. But when you start to desire it, and when you start to require it, you might want to just check it out and see if there's some residue there. Galatians 5 and 16 says, we walk in the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5 and 16. We walk in the Spirit. So we've got to check it all the time, don't we? Does my emotions, does my thoughts, does that go accordance to the Word of God? Does that person in my life, is he bringing me life or death? You could love someone to death, as we say in this church, and they can take you straight to hell with them. It doesn't matter that they love you back. And even the ones in church, you better check that spirit, girl. You will be dealing with the scrub. Come on. Am I lying? I'm not lying. He's sent from the pits of hell. Come on. He ain't your assignment, girl. He's going to tear you down. 1 Peter 4 and 2. And I've been reading a lot in 1 Peter. It's always good to read Peter. I love Peter. Peter fell. God, Jesus told him, you're going to deny me 3 times before the cock crows. He's like, oh no, I'll go with you to the end. I'll ride and die with you in our terms and day terms. And what did he do? I never knew him. I am not that person. Sold him out. And then when Jesus looked at him in the courtyard after the third rooster crow, or I call it a rooster crow, he ran and cried. But Jesus told him, he says, you know, I pray for you. And when you come back, strengthen the brothers. So Peter has a lot of strength for you there. Read Peter. 1 and 2 Peter. 1 Peter 4 and 2, it says, no, let me just read the whole thing. 1 Peter 4 and 2. Peter's talking about suffering here. It says in the first verse, Christ has suffered for us in the flesh. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Oh, there's that mind again. For he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Woo, did you know it was going to be painful? If you didn't, right there it is in English. That he no longer shall live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Verse 1 and 2. To the will of God. What's lust? Is when we run after the desires of ourselves besides Christ. Let's go. I like when it says, beloved, in verse 7, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. We think that this is how I get well and how I get healed. God wants wholeness. And some of us aren't willing to go through the process of being whole. We just want you to put a Band-Aid on it and fix what's wrong, Lord. But look, don't look any further. I want to keep my scrubs. I want to keep my residue. Don't check too close, Lord. 2 Peter 1 and 3, the New Living Translation. Let's check that one out. By His divine power, God has given us everything. Did that leave anything out? No. Everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him. There's that part where we don't want to be whole because we don't want to know Him. We just want Him to fix what's wrong. Yes, sir. It is 2 Peter 1 and 3 in the New Living Translation. It says, we have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. Isn't that wonderful? He left nothing out. Everything. I have forgiven your sins. I will remember them no more. That's for my own sake, He said. I'll wipe the slate clean. And then He says, I'm going to come and put my Spirit in you. I'm going to live in you. I made you new. Old things have passed away. John 14 and 23-ish says, you know, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. My Father will love you. And then we will come and make our abode or home in you. 23. So when the Holy Spirit came, we have power. That's promised in Acts 1 and 8. Power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, we live with the Holy Spirit. It lives within us. His job is to guide us into all truth. Do you ever wonder why it doesn't say lead? It's when I guide you, I am showing you this way. Come this way. This is the best route for you to get to where you're going. The enemy likes to lead you. He likes to bind you up and drag you around to places you never thought you would ever go. So true. Do you remember how sin just started out real small? And then before you know it, you're sitting in the tub one day thinking, this is going to kill me. I just know it. That was a personal experience. That wasn't a personal experience. I want to share a personal thing that happened a few weeks back, and I've only told maybe one or two people in this church. I was asleep. I was having a dream. And in the dream, to escape where I was, I had to go through this tiny door. And on the inside, I could hear people talking, but I'm standing at this door. And I'm trying to figure out if this is truly an exit or a trap. And I wake up from the dream, and I'm in a panic. Have you ever woke up from a dream and be emotional? Well, that's what I was. Literally, I could not breathe. That's the closest thing I can think of a panic attack. And literally the room to me was so dark. I had never seen my bedroom be so dark. And the only light was the hallway light and the door. And my first action or thought was to get up and run up out of the house and get outside to the fresh open air. But I realized the enemy was planting something in my life that could debilitate me. So I start to rebuke him and take authority over him. And I grab my ear pods and I put them in and I put some music on, gospel music. And I laid there. And when I closed my eyes, the darkness was almost felt. I could almost feel it. It's like it closed in on me. But I refused to open my eyes again. And I started praying and I started taking authority over this issue. And it will not confine me and bind me and cause what damage I know it could cause. I fell asleep in peace. That's that power and authority. whatever was in my life. I told it to go. It was trying to bind me up. It was something that has been handed down hereditarily. And I broke that line that night. No longer will it have any authority in my life nor the lives of my children. Don't tell me that the power of God doesn't exist. That you can get past whatever was done. What wrong you have been involved in at your own will or at the will that you didn't desire. I don't care what it is, what residue is in your life. The Holy Spirit. You have the power through the Holy Spirit. That is God's strength in you to do what needs to be done. You just have to simply make the choice to stand. To stand. And refuse the residue. To be whole and not just healed. To be whole and not just well. To no longer live with the scrubs in your life. What are you accepting in your life that cannot bring eternal blessing to you? What are you worshiping? What are you worshiping? What have you put on the throne besides God? What residue have you made an idol of? You have the power. Galatians 5 and 22 and 23, it's one that we quote. It is the fruit of the Spirit. It is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It is all there. Where the Holy Spirit abides all those things. We do not have to accept being slaves to the residue in our life. The Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. You've heard this message. He's going to start talking to you about it. But I want you to know, John 8 and 36 says, whom the Son has made free, you are free indeed. You are free indeed. Don't accept the scrubs in your life, the residue that's left over. Ask the Holy Spirit to expose it to you. He will, but He also gives you the power and the knowledge to overcome, to get rid of, to walk away from whatever it is in your life. If you will allow Him, He can only guide you. It's your choice. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for the word today that you've given us. Reveal now to us any residue in our lives, any areas of our lives we're accepting less than what you died on the cross for us. Less than what you rose from the grave for us. Less than who I am, a child of God. Join heirs with Christ Jesus. We pray now, Father, that you strengthen us. Give us your wisdom and understanding. According to your word, you will do so. And we thank you that we are new, Father, in you. Help us as we go through the process of being saved, of renewing our minds. Help us to stand strong and tall and proud of who we are and who you are to us. Help us to show others there is hope. There is a way. That Jesus is worthy. Have your way in the remainder of this service and bless each and every person that hears this message, Father. Strengthen them, encourage them,